Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
I'm very happy to see you hobbling in here today. But I would like, in turn, to introduce the woman who laughs at everything, our dear friend Ruby.
Yay.
Hi. Hi. I wanted to make sure that you were really, you're able to stand at least on one leg.
I can hop. Yeah.
I'm here for board emergencies as needed.
Moby Dick has the other leg.
You mean if the listeners get bored, you're going
So it was great fun doing it with Ruby last week, doing the show.
Yeah.
It was so nice.
But we missed you a lot.
We did. Aww, we did.
You didn't get to celebrate the Nixon holiday
anniversary.
With us.
I know. So. Today is Elvis Death Day, though.
Very good. Yeah, so. All right. And I haven't sent out my Elvis Death Day cards yet. What's wrong with me?
There's a Elvis Madison story. Do you guys know the story?
But no. The fight?
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Oh, tell us.
So there is a monument off of East Wash from a moment that Elvis stopped a fight by getting out of his car and striking a fight pose.
Karate
pose. Oh, okay. Karate pose. Okay. Yeah. And he was like, stop fighting. And everyone's like, it's Elvis.
Did they stop? I hope.
Oh, they did.
Everybody, his powers of
everybody
love
was stunned.
And compassion.
It's like, what? Right. Elvis is doing karate moves.
I think it was, this happened the same year that he died.
Yeah, Madison was like his third to last stop or something.
Wow.
And
not to diss Elvis in any way, but I just recently heard the comparison of the current state of the Trump campaign to the late Fat Elvis tour. It's like, yeah, I've heard that before, and it was better the last time I heard it. Yeah.
He is just playing the hits now.
He's playing the hits. And those rhinestones don't look as good as they used to.
Crooked comma blah. Trying to make comma blah happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. No, that's not even funny.
It's just, it's like a typo. It's like they made a typo and they were going to just run with it. Like the weather map with the Sharpie.
Yeah, right.
But I'm very excited. I don't know how much you talked about this, but I'm excited to have another potential vice president from Minnesota.
Yeah, that is great.
That would be the land
of vice president.
That'd be the third in my lifetime.
Happy to be here.
We love finishing second. It's no pressure.
You don't want to get ahead of yourself.
It's not too showy. I don't really want to win.
Yeah.
You win.
You win.
I'll just be here as a backup here.
Yeah. And you're the real expert, but Walt really fills Minnesota into
me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have a debate October 1st with him and
that simulated human
J.D. Wentworth or whatever his name is. But Waltz will bring a hot dish, and plastic utensils for everybody.
Excellent.
It'll be great. So
I'm excited.
It will be quite a contrast.
Yeah, it will be. All the debates.
I think you may have heard this, but apparently one of Trump's more odious supporters was there at Mar-a-Lago, and he was complaining to Trump about Mrs. Vance, about J.D.'s wife.
Oh, really?
The mixed-race children. Yeah, that was... Apparently that was disturbing unto him.
Because they're mixed-race?
Yeah, that was it, beginning and the end.
Oh, okay.
Wait, you want to ask more? Come on. Obviously not in the Trump orbit. But the poor guy is out there defending Trump, and of course Trump is saying things along the line of, well, they say weird, they mean you, not me, kind of thing. Yeah.
It is strange how much they've let Vance take the lead. I honestly think that there's something. I mean, we know there's something wrong with him, but I think Trump has. He was either sick, maybe he got COVID, or post traumatic stress from the shooting or something. That
you think?
He hunkered down at Mar-a-Lago for a long time. He didn't do anything for a while. Then he went to Montana. For safe space. And then he's done a couple things since then.
I think he's just flummoxed. I mean, he thought he was going to be fighting Joe or whatever you would call that.
Yeah.
Two old guys whapping each other with their limp wrists. But But they moved
his
water
dish. I've
seen
that at the locker room at the gym. It's not pretty.
They moved his water dish. He doesn't know what to do now.
Yeah, that's part of it. I really think there was something there. I mean, it's not like him. They asked him about it, and he got all huffy and said, well, it's a stupid question. And he goes, well, you know, we're doing all kinds of stuff, and we're just going to wait till after the Democratic convention, which is not like him at all. Yeah. You know,
they're having that next week. Anybody going? Do we have any WRT people down there?
A bunch of WRT people are going.
A platoon of WRT people?
A platoon. I think we're sending three people just...
Oh, good.
Like we sent three people to the RNC, and so we're working with a station down in Chicago. I wish I remember the name.
How can Mel and I get in on that?
You just want to go to Chicago.
It's a
I'll
little
be right
late.
There. I'll be right there. We had press passes one time. Do you remember that? They actually gave you and me press passes.
Where was that?
It was many years ago now, when they opened the convention center.
Oh, yeah.
And they were trying to drum up as much. They were being very blasé about this. They were trying to drum up as much publicity for the convention center as possible. And they literally gave us press passes, and we did a live remote from the roof of the open convention center.
Wow.
For the opening.
Yeah.
They had a opening ceremony.
So we were like, it was Mel and I.
We had a handler.
We had a handler, yeah. And we were not saying things they wanted to hear. We were like, oh, there's another guy, a white guy in a suit. Proud, proud, very proud. Oh, here's another one. Proud, extremely proud. And well, then we're like, they're opening the doors. They're letting the people in. They're turning on the gas.
Yeah, she turned pretty white when you said that.
But we could see minions in the crowd because they were listening to us on their, you know, whatever people
1967
had
1967 transistor radio.
And so they were cracking up and were doing that. But no one's ever offered us a press pass after that.
No.
So if you want to talk to your news and public affairs mistress and see if she's got anyone's laying around.
I mean, to the DNC and the RNC, I think you really have to go through like background.
Yeah.
You have to really get cleared. And I don't know that you guys would pass those sort of things.
No way.
Do they do a strip search?
Yeah.
Good.
I was hoping so.
You know,
trying to get the word out.
I got a jury duty summons.
Oh, you did?
Which I'm kind of excited about.
Sure.
And I just don't know. I'm either going to be like, someone's like, yes, absolutely, get her on in our jury pool, or they're going to be like, nope, first strike, gone.
I was that. That's three times, yeah. Too smart, out of here.
Well, you're in like broadcast journalism, so they'll probably throw you out right away.
Just I'm gonna say, I just do podcasting or something. You know,
Don't lie. Don't lie. They can tell.
Okay.
I had jury duty once a long time ago. It was really fun. I mean, you know, I shouldn't say fun. It was an attempted murder.
Look at us.
Wow.
We're all like, oh, jury duty, yay. Quick, turn the dial, you people.
But it was a good experience. It was really interesting. But we ended up acquitting the guy. And it was one of these things where we knew he was probably guilty, but we just didn't have enough evidence. It was a bar fight.
Sure.
And so all the witnesses were at that time were drunk or high or something.
Right.
So there was like nobody had any credibility. But the one witness for the defense, I love this guy. He's like a friend of the accused. And I mean, you know, this happened a year and a half before the trial.
Sure.
You know, they take a while to come to trial. And this guy got up on the stand and described in great detail what his wife was wearing the night they went to the bar. And that's when I knew he was lying.
Yeah.
He's like, no husband knows what their wife is wearing, like, right at this moment. They could be looking at them and not have a clue, let alone a year and a half later.
Yeah.
He described the shoes she was wearing. That's, it's like, no, yeah, you are lying. You're a terrible liar.
Man, that's one of my favorite games to play. Do you notice anything?
Oh, that's evil. That's evil.
I usually mean that I mowed the lawn, but...
Oh, you got a haircut.
Yeah.
It looks good.
An actual lawn.
Yeah, that too.
My favorite was once, I used to have a full beard and I shaved it off one time. And my coworkers knew there was something different. And they said, there's something different about you. And I said, oh, yeah, okay. Didn't you have plastic surgery? Yeah, I had a facelift over the weekend. I was like,
You should see my butt.
Try harder. Hey, you know, after all of the
what?
The sturm and the drong about the, you know, the elections and you know, voting booth tampering and so on, they did actually convict somebody, and I've heard about this, on Monday of tampering with voting machines. This is a woman by the name of Tina Peters. She's the former clerk of Mesa County, Colorado. And she was indeed convicted of the terrible crime of tampering with the voting machines in her area, of course, to favor President Donald J. Trump. After 5 hours of deliberation, a jury in Grand Junction found Ms. Peters guilty of 7 criminal charges connected to her efforts to breach a machine manufactured by Dominion Voting Systems. Ooh, I wonder where she got that idea.
Don't mess with Dominion.
Yeah, exactly. And so she does. She was basically thought the president at the time, President Trump, had won, and she was going to make it happen if it didn't happen on its own. So all their after all their huffing and puffing and oh, it's all fake and everything. The one person who's been convicted of in any way tampering with the electoral process in 2020 was, of course, someone supporting Donald Trump.
What did she do? Did she like?
I think she gave access to somebody. She kind of opened it up to.
She opened it up so that they
could
fuss around with it, you know, and bring to pass what they said would had already happened. So yeah.
But she was just showing the vulnerabilities in the system.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Me.
Just proving little me.
Miss Vulnerability.
J.D. Vance spoke at a Pennsylvania rally.
Real that, human boy, that, J.D.
Vance. That probably had dozens of people there. But he said, as I think it was yesterday, he said that President Donald Trump embodies the Marine Corps motto of always faithful.
Oh, good Lord.
And
ask his first two wives. Well, ask his current one.
Always faithful, yeah, Donald Trump. Simplify. Yeah, those just go together, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do.
I think if you asked him to define faithful, he couldn't wrap his mind around what that might be.
Yeah. Well, I was sick of sleeping with her, so I got a new one.
And I slept with her until I was sick of her.
I do like how the article wraps up here. It says, Trump famously avoided the Vietnam draft, citing bone spurs, and has reportedly called dead soldiers suckers and losers.
Yeah. The best thing about the bone spurs is he still can't tell you exactly where they were.
Or which foot.
How many feet do you have, sir? Sir, do you have any feet do you have? Tears in my eyes.
You have tears in your eyes.
I ask him that. Yeah, so. Speaking of faithful, though, I want to mention that Russian authorities recently came out and said that Alexei Navalny, remember the famous opposition leader who died in Russian prison, he supposedly died of a heart arrhythmia, and his widow went online on Thursday, just yesterday, and she criticized this document that was issued by the Russian Investigative Committee last week, and this Yulia Navalnaya, and she said, "Here's a man under constant surveillance in prison." Globally recognized politician, the leader of the opposition, and suddenly he dies within an hour from a combined illness. The report is a lie, and they are hiding what happened that day. And of course, she's on their hit list too right now, you know, opposing the Kremlin. So she's out. She's stepped up. You know, he died, and she's been a faithful stalwart and helpmate even after his death.
Takes a lot of courage.
So. Yeah. Well, again, it's not like we don't see the results of. When Putin decides someone's going to go, they typically go.
They have an accident.
Yeah, they have an accident.
Trump had a warning yesterday when he spoke to, I think he spoke to some reporters. He said that if Kamala Harris wins, everybody gets health care. You mark my words.
Yeah, what a horrifying vision of the apocalypse.
You're going to get to see a doctor.
Wow. Yeah, with this whole, I think the whole populist thing is kind of wearing thin now. I mean, his interview with Musk was so obviously slobbering all over him. And you were mentioning to me earlier before we went on air about his comments to the oil executives, you know, just give me those billions and you can do whatever you want.
It's like, it was like a TV, old TV telethon or something where they got the big thermometer there and it's like, we need $1 billion and then you can won't have any regulations anymore.
I guess Musk, he was praising him for like union busting.
He was fired. He fired a bunch of people.
Yeah, just fired people.
Yeah, and Trump was praising him for that.
Which I think is illegal, if I'm not mistaken. But what do I know?
I saw a nice article where they took a lot of the things that Vance has been saying over the years and they matched it up with what Viktor Orban is doing in Hungary and it matched up pretty closely.
So. Did you see in a talk earlier this week, Trump said that he will cut energy prices in half, reduce it in the first year, and even if he doesn't, you'll still have voted for the guy who brought them down quite a bit. Just like straight up, you know, saying a lie.
He lies and then he tries to cover his butt on the lie.
Even when I don't.
Okay,
even
you know I'm lying, but... Well, they're
the nested lies, you know, kind of like those Russian dolls. Yeah, you know, like so. Inside of this lie is another lie.
Well, there are these psychological studies they've done where if someone is flattering you and you know they're flattering you, you know they're just fluffing you, and you know they're lying, it still affects you. I mean, it's still kind of wins you over a little bit. And so I think he's kind of practicing that sort of thing. It's like, I'm just going to lie. The price of bacon went up, to $400 a slice. And you can't get it anywhere.
I saw a former employer of mine, and I hadn't seen him in a few years. And he said, you were always my favorite. And I said, Dan, what I like about you is you care enough to lie.
That's important, isn't it?
It is. I just want to, anybody out there is in management. You gotta care enough to lie.
That's management 101.
Exactly. So that's probably what you're getting. You're probably getting, okay, I know they're lying about me. I know this is just a bunch of crap, but you know what? They're trying.
Well, Clinton was like that. Yeah, I mean, he'd say, I'm full of crap. Yeah, we know. We all know.
More crap, please.
I mean, even as his campaign commercials, instead of saying, I'm Bill Clinton and I approve this message, it was like, I'm Bill Clinton and I'm full of crap.
Yeah. So. Yeah, kids, you don't remember that, but that's what happened. Mel's got it nailed. That's exactly what the campaign was. I saw an article in the New York Times today where they were saying, Kamala should run her campaign like Bill Clinton did in 96.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, come on, you guys. I think we moved on from that.
Yeah, I think they're doing pretty well, actually.
Yeah. Except for that laugh. We love Kamala because she's the laughing candidate. Come on.
She's human.
She could be right here on the show laughing at her own jokes.
Yeah.
That would be perfect.
Speaking of people in high places doing weird stuff.
Yes.
There's a mayor of a small Georgia town, Mayor Benji Carey Crawford. Never trust a mayor named Benji.
Benji, okay. I've been writing that down. Rules to live by.
He has been indicted on charges for illegally leaving a bottle of gin in a ditch for a state prison work crew.
That's the guy I'd vote for.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's for the people.
He is definitely for the people.
Chicken in every pot and gin in every ditch.
Gin in every ditch, exactly.
Apparently, his choice of gin is little,
Was it Fleischmann's?
It was Seagram's. So,
Seagram's, yeah.
Not Fleischmann's, but not much better.
But I mean, see, a good public servant. He wants to help the people, but he's paying attention to the budget.
Watching the bottom line.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You're not going to give them, Hendrix or something.
No, right.
I had a friend who would just...
Plus, they're prisoners. They should suffer a little bit.
You mentioned Fleischmann, which is a vodka. And I was thinking with a friend of mine who used to drink the worst vodka of all, Popov. You ever had Popov vodka? You can either drink it or you can clean a battery with it. It's what's up to you?
They used to have grocery stores here called Skogans.
Okay.
And they had their own house brand vodka. Skogans vodka. Yeah. Skogans.
Made in the backyard.
I came to Wisconsin to visit one time and we were drinking Skogans vodka. Oh. And it was like, oh my God.
Stripped your insides. Paint thinner.
Hey, President Biden announced. President Biden's still doing things, by the way, in case you're curious. President Biden announced that he's going to put aside $150 million for cancer research.
Oh, cool.
So there was a bunch of award recipients. They were doing cancer research. Dartmouth, Johns Hopkins, et cetera, were all basically recipients of these. There were 8 research grants in all, and it totaled $150 million. And this was something that's very near and dear and important to him, and so he thought he'd try to get this done. As we all know, his eldest son, Bo, died of aggressive brain cancer, so this has been very important to him. Another thing the president announced this week is that a set of policies dealing with, and I think all of us know that this would make life better for a subset of humans, and that is make it easier to cancel subscriptions, speak to customer service agents, and get flight refunds.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
All those little things, you know, this is the way, here in the United States of Scamerica, the way corporations work now is basically they're trying to claw back whatever customer service they possibly can. And what's happened is we have to basically push back the all of us socially getting together through our government.
You could
back.
Talk to our chat bot.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to end unnecessary headaches and hassles that occur. Hitting unsubscribe, that's one thing. When a robotic voice starts, people talk about these doom loops. Have you ever been in a doom loop?
Mm.
Yeah, this is terrible, where you're trying to you go through all these steps and then you really don't get anywhere with trying to get your whatever it is you need to be taken care of. So the Federal Communications Commission is also, in addition to this, considering similar requirements for phone, broadband, and cable companies.
Wow.
Automatic refund for major flight delays. And shoppers will see more reliable custom reviews. The Federal Trade Commission has announced that they're going to be making sure that custom reviews are not AI-generated reviews. You know, like Kamala's crowd size. But that was the strangest and most bizarre thing I think he said in the last week.
He's still obsessed with that stuff. I mean, we weren't there.
He said in one tweet, he's or whatever they call them now, in
Truth
Post, it's Truth. Yeah, he said that. I have the biggest crowd sizes in history, and of course, my immediate thought was, you've never been to Nuremberg, have you?
Well, he aspires.
There was a guy that got bigger crowds.
He aspires to that.
Yeah, though. I know.
He's got the playbook.
Triumph of the Will. I saw that movie when I was in college. big crowds. Big crowds.
But he said he had more people than Martin Luther King. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. He's so obsessed with that stuff. And now, but I like that they've been having to go to smaller and smaller venues for, you know, reporters are starting to compare it to 2016 and 2020. And it's like, oh, they went to, you know, in Birmingham and they had, you know, the basketball arena and had 12,000 people.
Right.
And now they're at, you know, the Chuck E. Cheese with the puppet show.
And they're counting the puppets.
Yeah, the opening band is animatronic. Yes. Well, that's also famously a problem he has. He can't get the top stars, right?
So yeah.
He gets the Hulk Hogans and so on.
Yeah. Oh, he's a top star. Why would you say that about Hulk Hogan? Yeah, no one else rips their shirts off their body.
Hulk Hogan. When the World Wrestling Association, Federation, whatever it was called then, the wrestlers were trying to organize. They were trying to unionize because they are really taken advantage of. I mean, they're, you know, when we've seen from back in that era, so many of them died prematurely. But
sure.
But so they were trying to essentially form a,
it's like football but better.
Form a union like football and basketball players have. And so the Hulk Hogan was a spy for McMahon.
Yeah.
And he would go, after they have a meeting, he'd go and tell McMahon what was going on. And he was just a little weasel boy.
So he's perfect for Trump.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that would generate a lot of animosity in the ring, it would seem to me.
Well, I don't think that came out until years later.
Okay. But that's what Reagan famously did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Olivia de Havilland and all those people back in the 40s. They'd rat out all the other actors.
Mr. Reagan, would you name some names? Oh, I'd be glad to. A Mississippi man found a tusk from the biggest mammal to ever walk across the state's land. Of course, that's a giant mammoth.
Yeah.
my favorite thing in the world. It was in Madison County, Mississippi, the first giant mammoth tusk ever documented in Mississippi, in part because the animals were much rarer than mastodons and the smaller woolly mammoths. I hope to find part of a mammoth, but that's pretty rare down here. So, but they do find a lot in Alabama, a lot of those. But in Alabama, the tusks are looser.
I knew it was coming. Thank you, Groucho.
That's the only reason I brought that story in.
It's all about the setup.
Yeah, you start with the punchline, go find the story.
Right. You know,
ChatGPT, I have this punchline. Find me a story.
We just came back from, it's funny you mention that, because we just came back from New England, and one of the things I did there, we were at Harvard, and I went to the Museum of Natural History. And I just love that stuff. And
I'm in there.
And they've got, you know, various dinosaurs, and they've got mammoths and things like that. And but I was really fascinated by the insects. And I was reminded, I went to David Rockefeller, the famous rich guy. He, from a young age, he loved beetles. He absolutely loved, and not the beetles, but just beetles. And so he had a beetle collection when he was very young, and being a rich boy, he wrote to people all over the world. And they have this gigantic beetle collection there. And I was reminded of the famous biologist, J.B.S. Haldane, who said, he was once asked, Professor Haldane, in all of your years at looking at, you know, natural beauty and the wonders of creation, what do you think that God is trying to tell us? And his response was, he seems to have an inordinate fondness for beetles. But I think it's totally ordinate, actually. Yeah. I mean, beetles are beautiful. They're beautiful creatures. But there's more species of beetles than any other kind of creature on the face of the earth.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Not more beetles, more species, more different kinds. They've speciated really well. And the other ones I found out that are speciated really well are bats.
Yeah.
They are the most speciated of all the mammals. There's 1,100 kind of bats. Eels, for some strange reason, there's lots of different kinds of eels. And salamanders. Those are so beetles, eels, salamanders, and bats. They just have really, they're very adaptable. So there's your fun fact from the Harvard Museum of Natural History.
I feel like I can only picture like three beetles. You know?
Oh, they're big
ones.
Well,
there were four of them.
They're big ones, little ones. Yeah, right. Well, there was the fifth beetle. Of
course. Yeah. Pete Best.
Yeah. Well, he put out an album called Best of the Beatles.
Yeah. I got to cash in somehow.
Yeah, exactly. And for Ringo. I mean, of all of the...
That was like back when we were young'uns, they would put out these compilation albums of hits, mm-hmm. you know, and so you didn't have to like buy, you know, 10 different albums, sure. you get all the hits. And but sometimes they didn't have the regular original artists. They'd have like a house band playing them.
Right.
But there was one I saw one time, they called the band the Original Artists. So they had all the hits by the Original Artists.
Excellent.
What else here? So
I just want to mention real quickly, you may have heard this, that former President Trump is seeking to delay his criminal sentencing in Manhattan. And he says that his lawyer sent a letter to the judge, and it was made public yesterday. They said they don't want currently the sentencing is going to occur on September 18th. And his lawyers argue that that's unfairly influencing voters.
Oh.
And my feeling about that is it's totally fairly influencing voters.
Don't do a crime.
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. So by adjourning the sentence until after the election, which is of paramount importance to the nation, the court would reduce, even not eliminate, issues regarding the integrity of any future proceedings. And I just want to say one thing, email server, and that's all.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
I mean, what? No FBI director would ever come out right before an election and say that one of the candidates was up to mischief. That would never happen. But, of course, you know, we have this to... Now we don't want to do that anymore. So,
hey, I have a story going back to the story you had about streaming services and paying for them.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So there is a Disney wants to throw out a wrongful death lawsuit because the plaintiff had a Disney Plus account. So a family went to Disney World in Florida.
Sure.
And this woman died of an allergy. Yeah. They went to a restaurant. They informed the staff. You know, they'd heard that this is a restaurant that is really good with dealing with allergies. And, you know, even after talking to the waiter and being being told, yeah, there's no nuts, there's no dairy, she fatally passed away even after using an EpiPen. And Disney's lawyers are arguing that because when her spouse signed up for a Disney Plus account, he had signed, you know, he checked a box, say, I agree to these terms and services. In the terms and services, it says that any dispute between you and us, except for small claims, is subject to a class action waiver and must be resolved by individual binding attribution. So taking it out of court, going to attribution.
Yeah, wow. That's bizarre.
Arbitration.
Yes. Yeah, so I mean, I think we're all screwed.
You mean you don't read those things in great detail?
Very quickly, I'm going to tell you my favorite Disney story. So companion and I were down there a few years ago, and we went to this old-timey ice cream parlor. And the two women who were dressed in these costumes from the early 20th century were, like, royally complaining about one of their manager and their hours and everything while they're scooping the ice cream.
Not very magical.
Well, that was exactly it. And one of them said, in this set with a sardonic laugh, just more of the Disney magic. That was my favorite time there. I laughed.
See, those are real Disney princesses.
Yeah, they really are.
None of this Snow White stuff.
Exactly.
Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WRTFM.org, hopefully using the WRT app, which is a sweet, sweet deal.
It's free.
That's a good deal.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the clarification there. I made it sound like you have to pay for it.
We will. Sue us, though.
And you can't sue us.
Wave all liability. Yeah. When you
all liability goes in front of Mel, Pants, and Ruby. We're the tribunal.
We are.
That resolve all
the
disputes.
We're the supremes.
And we all have gavels.
That's right.
And we know how to use them.
Yeah, and you might be listening in the future because we put this show and all of our shows up on the archives page. And thanks to our pal Mindless Minion D Cubed, you can listen through various pod situations like Spotify and Apple and those types of places.
The pod experience.
Yeah.
Pod experience.
So, all right, we're going to take a brief break and play some announcements, and then we'll come back with anybody.
I've
got anything good?
Baby pandas.
Baby pandas? Cool.
I have Texas Sue's GM.
Oh.
That's interesting.
And we got a letter in the mailbag. Kind of chastising Smarty Pants for something he said about COVID, apparently.
So. Oh, no. What did I say?
He said it was mild.
Well, mine was.
Yeah. We'll get that. All right. We're going to take a break and play some announcements. You stick around. And whatever these announcements tell you to do, go ahead and do it.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Dane Dances, a free family-friendly event on the Monona Terrace rooftop every Friday evening in August. This week features Funky JB's at 6 p.m. and Orquesta Salsol de Mad at 8 p.m. Carry-in chairs, blankets, and baskets are permitted. No carry-in alcohol. More information on the Dane Dances concert series is available at danedances.org.
Do you care about workers and labor issues? Do you want to make a difference in our community for working people? Then join the Labor Radio team. Labor Radio is a weekly show that covers labor, social justice, and political issues that impact workers. And we need your help. As a Labor Radio volunteer, you will have the opportunity to report on important labor and social justice stories in your community, interview workers, activists, and experts, produce and edit your own stories. No prior experience is necessary, though a connection with labor is a plus. We will provide training and support. All you need is a passion for worker justice and a desire to amplify the voices of working people. To learn more, contact Volunteer Coordinator Adrian Rainey at 608-321-9583 or head online to WORTFM.org/volunteer to fill out an application. Labor Radio, a voice for workers.
You got it. Did it.
And we're back.
So tell us about this email.
Oh, it's not bad.
Oh, you had to start with that.
It's from David. He says, "Whoa, Smarty Pants, should not be trivializing this mild COVID thing."
Oh, I'm not trivializing anything. I was just happy it was mild.
And all these new strains. Yeah, you had a mild case, all these new strains and their impact on the body. You might want to look up Dr. Sean Mullen on X. He has a lot of eye-opening info on COVID.
Never looked at anything on X.
He's from Illinois. At the U of Ill down there. So thank you, Dave.
You are ill. Yes. No, and thank you, listener. And I just want to say, by the way, when I say mild, I mean I had no respiratory problems, no brain fog. But we were, both companion and I, were out and down for the count for like 5 days.
Yeah.
All we did was sit there with our tongues lolling out of our mouths. Or sleeping. That was about it. Yeah. So I should.
Were you in Scotland then?
Yeah, that's when we were in Scotland. I should. Yeah, watched a lot of bad British TV. Yeah. I should point out that by mild, I mean, we didn't have to go to the hospital. We didn't have respiratory issues. So, I accept that. But but just, it was not life threatening.
Yeah.
So, and it was me. Yeah, I understand that.
But it's mostly about you.
Yeah, it's all about me.
Yeah, that's the main thing. So, well, I picked up. I hadn't had.
You got COVID.
I haven't had COVID. Since I never had COVID.
Yeah, same here.
It's been more than 4 years or so since the pandemic, and so then I had this knee surgery on a Wednesday, and they made me take a COVID test on Monday, and it came back negative. Mm-hmm. So then by the weekend, when I went home, I had COVID.
Sure, because you're in a hospital.
If you want to get sick, go to the hospital.
That's what they tell you.
Yeah, see, that's what, because then everybody's going to have health care, and everybody's going to get sick.
Ooh, now we see the other side of what you were saying before.
Yeah. Kamala blah, or whatever, is going to get everybody sick, and we'll all get COVID, so. Yeah, that was funny. It came. I got sick, and like the two people who were taking care of me, because like the first week I was like a baby, pretty much, and well, I'm always like a baby.
You saw me looking at you.
You had a reason to be a baby,
justifiably.
But like the two people taking care of me both had COVID too. So I was like,
and one of them got it worse than you did too.
Yeah, my kid got it really bad. So, but
how is your knee, by the way?
Oh, it's really good.
It's not going on adventures without you.
It is. I have a cadaver. Knee now, thanks to the kind donor. So he was a very nice guy. He didn't mind. We got to pick it out. Like Friday night, we went and
you bought him a steak.
Yeah,
like, a brandy old fashioned.
Do some squats for me here. Run up those stairs. Let me take a look at that. I like that one.
Can you skip?
It's like picking out a lobster. Can you skip? But no, I think it's a murderer's knee. Like somebody who was executed in a southern state, probably. It might start like trying to strangle me or something.
Yeah, if you have any dark thoughts, call me. I'll talk you through them.
What they did was they actually hit his knee with that little hammer. And it refused to move. So that was the first sign there was a problem.
It's abnormal. Abnormal.
Murderer's knee.
Hey, I gotta say,
I made a lot of jokes about the cadaver knee over the last month or so. But when I came home from the hospital, you know, they give you all this paperwork, sure. and they gave me pictures of like the scope and stuff. Yeah. And but they actually looked like pictures of, you know, like Neptune or something. It didn't really look like anything. But then they put a, like a nice little pamphlet in there about their donor program and thanking the people who had signed up. So I felt kind of bad making jokes about it. It's like, oh, that was a really nice thing somebody did for me.
Yeah.
So
Do you have any? Are you wiser than the rest of us because you have a cadaver knee? You know what I mean? Like, what can you tell me about the purpose of life?
I have another being. Yeah. It's one of like these science fiction things where there's like two people in one body, you know? And so.
Well, it's funny you should say that because every now and then when I want to just like calm myself down and I'll think about all the creatures that are living on and in me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm basically like a giant cruise ship, you know? Like my microbiome.
Even with the E. coli. Exactly.
You don't want to see a microscope of your eyelids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All the little guys, little mites and things living in me. I think, I'm helping out so many little critters.
Yeah. but anyway, to answer your question, I'm doing great. I'm a little bit ahead of the schedule. The physical therapists are wonderful. And
look at you, overachiever.
I am. They commented on how strong my quads were. Several people did that, just passersby, and then
assembled masses,
and then my flexibility, which my legendary flexibility. So they were.
You'll be back to clogging in no time.
Line dancing, exactly. My cowboy hat on. So
many people are reaching the end of the summer, and the summer vacation is going to be in the rearview mirror, and you're going to be feeling very bad. So we've got some suggestions from the Mel and Floyd Vault here on what to do to keep your vacation going so you don't get too depressed. So one thing to do, top voodoo psychologists recommend, that one thing is to try to find a mini version of whatever it was about your vacation that was fun. Was it hanging out with other people? Was it the daily naps on the beach? Whatever you did.
Not working.
You had to spoil it, didn't you?
So when you go back to work, take a nap.
Well, if you loved exploring, maybe do that. Maybe go around town here in Madison. We have a beautiful, beautiful town here. If you live in Madison and maybe you were vacationing somewhere else, you could come back. Go around town like you're a tourist. Look at new places maybe that you haven't seen or look at them through different eyes.
Yeah.
Get outside more. Lots of people go on vacation in order just to be in the great outdoors. Well, you know, outdoors is always there. It's not always exciting as it might be in Colorado or whatever, but go ahead, go to a park, hang out at a bird feeder, you know, wave at passersby, whatever you need to do, camp in the backyard, whatever you like.
Yeah. So. That's the one thing I've missed since I've had the knee surgery. I've been inside.
Like, you're very active.
I like to be outside. Yeah. I like to be in nature. Yeah. And I made it to the backyard the other day. It was a big milestone because it's a little hard to get there. There's a little hill. And I took Clopsy and just sat in the backyard for a while. It was the first time I'd actually been outside, you know, instead of just like walking to the car and stuff. So, yeah, so that does make you feel better, even just looking at trees and listening to birds and stuff. So.
Right. A couple other things
We had seven turkeys in our front yard the other day. It was so cool.
Wow.
I love turkeys.
Yeah, they're fun. Okay, I'm sorry.
Right, no worries. No, but I do love turkeys. I mean, you look at that and you think dinosaur, you know.
Yes.
No ifs, ands, or buts. Just real quickly, the other things are things that are associated with your experience. For example, music you may have heard or scents or food that you like, something like that. Doing those things, of course, those are some of the deepest and most visceral memories you can call up. And then finally, some sort of memento. People get souvenirs. They bring them home to think about things. Look at your souvenir. Show it to other people. You know, whatever it might be. And that'll make you think, of course, of your vacation.
I want to see pictures of my trip.
Yeah. Look at this thing I got.
I'm not saying show it to other people. Amnesty International's all over that.
I like the idea of bringing things home just to look at and remind you.
Yeah, I did that.
And then, like, you know, in 10, 15 years, you're like, I gotta downsize. Landfill or St. Vinny's for someone else to put in the landfill.
We went to the Witch Museum. We were in Salem. We went to the Salem Witch Museum. And
that sounds cool.
It's quasi-lame.
Which museum did you go to?
yes, exactly. And but it has a great Satan.
I haven't talked to adults in a month.
Just you and Clopsy and the cats.
Yeah, pretty much.
They had some original copies of the Hammer of Witches, you know, the book that told you about what witches do and how to go after them and blah, 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 blah. So they had a couple of, like, like these were big bestsellers in like 1580 or something like that, you know, all about the witches and the, what they're up to and stuff like that. And then they ended it, and I thought there was this very funny with, can you think of any like witch hunts that are going on today, you know, and then they, you can actually fill out like a card and send it back to them where we're talking about, because it's about the Salem witch trials, about this, that, you know, the what kind of structures, psychological and social structures might be in place to have other kinds of witch hunts today. So they are
like all that, like all those unfair trials with Donald Trump.
Exactly. Yeah. What they failed to understand is that sometimes there really are witches.
We found one.
Yeah, exactly. Let's dunk him, see if he floats.
He would float.
Yeah.
Because I know what else floats.
Right to the top.
Sometimes you got to flush several times.
Yeah, he talks a lot about that. He seems obsessed with it.
He does, so. Here's a new headline. Donald Trump brands Kamala Harris's lower grocery prices policy as communist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
so, you know, he had a
oldie but a goodie.
He had a presentation the other day where he had a bunch of groceries out there. They had bacon, of course, because, you know, he's obsessed with the price of bacon. And and they had, I don't, you know, Cheerios and stuff. And he was looking at it. He was supposed to talk about how expensive they were. And he looks and goes, oh, I haven't seen Cheerios in a long time.
Ramble, ramble, ramble. Oh, Lord.
Do you guys know the show Arrested Development?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
There's a joke, a Lucille Bluth joke. It's a banana, Michael. How much could it cost? And she says, $10? It's like that sort of energy.
That's like bacon, though. Yeah. Bacon is really expensive.
Yeah.
I suspect that what happened is they were out of bacon at the Mar-a-Lago omelet bar one day, and it's just stuck in his head there. Just
no sneeze bacon. Guard, by the way. Just to let you know, if we're going to Mar-a-Lago, no sneeze guard.
And he probably asked, and the cook probably just said, well, it's really expensive now, and then that...
Stuck in his head about why he can't have bacon?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that computer-like mind of his really got engaged.
So, did you guys vote on Tuesday?
It did. I went and voted live.
We voted, I think, for the first time since I've lived in Madison by mail because we were going to be gone.
Well, Wisconsin voters turned down the two referendum questions.
Yes, I thought that was great.
About 58% of the votes were no, with about 50%. Oh, never mind. Sorry. 58% of people who voted no for those questions.
They had a big turnout. I mean, considering it was a primary in August, they had like 26% turnout, which is really good for, I mean, I think those ballot measures probably drove a lot of that because otherwise, why would you bother to vote?
The sticker.
Yeah. Oh, the sticker. You got to have the sticker.
Yeah. You know, when you vote by mail, I didn't know this, when you
they
vote by mail, they send you a sticker.
Oh,
yeah.
Funny.
Or whoever, you know, many ballots you have. Right?
Oh. So yeah, I ran into a listener at the, a friend of mine, but she's a listener too, that at the polls, and she commented how much she liked hearing Ruby on the show the last few weeks.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah.
I do okay.
You are beloved. We are tolerated.
Resorts World Las Vegas, and I hope you're sitting down for this. It's been accused of catering to individuals with ties to organized crime, according to the Nevada Gaming Control Board. So I can't imagine some place in Vegas having ties to the mob.
The thing about that Nevada Gaming Control is in quotes. That's
it's all in quotes. I love how they call it gaming instead of gambling. You know, it makes it sound more fun and more wholesome. So. Yeah.
BL is very important. Hey, you're talking about getting people out to vote. Apparently, they are anticipating a very large turnout now in the state of Arizona for the November election because the Arizona Secretary of State has just certified that they've received 577,971 signatures to put the question of whether there should be a constitutional mandate in favor of abortion rights in the Arizona Constitution. So that's a pretty big deal. If that's on the ballot, it means that a lot of people are going to turn out to vote, and probably a lot of people who may support one of the two candidates. I'll let you decide which one. Similar question is going to appear on the ballot in Missouri, The Secretary of State there said on Tuesday that abortion rights groups had collected enough signatures to put it on the ballot there. And Missouri was the first state to enact an abortion ban after the United States Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade back in June of 2022. But it could be the first state where a citizen-sponsored measure could overturn that ban.
Well, interesting.
Wow.
So Arizona and Missouri, as they say.
Yeah, we've got that issue, and then a lot of some states are doing the legalized marijuana, you know, referendums, and that drives turnout too. So
sure,
not here.
I don't know. I got other things to do.
South Beloit is just 58 miles away or something. Yeah, yeah.
Go to Rockford.
It's better prices.
Better prices. No
lie.
No, right?
I've heard this.
No. I take gummies to help me sleep.
Do you really? You told me that.
I don't sleep very well. And that's, what's that?
He said allegedly.
No, I don't even take them for recreation. It's just like time to go to bed.
Sleeping's one of my favorite activities.
That's true. That is recreation. But,
now, I don't want to.
But I'm just going to say, go the extra 10, 12 miles to Rockford. You'll save some money. And you got to pay a couple tolls, but but other than that, and they're really sweet there. And it's a smaller place. There's no lines usually.
Yeah.
Are they supporting the show now? Or
yeah, they're our new sponsors. There's some kids out there listening. It's like, hi kids. You want to know where to get your THC?
Well, you know, I don't know whether this is true, but I'm aware of that since I had COVID, I have had some pretty odd dreams.
Yeah.
And my dream life has suddenly gotten kind of, I don't, just scarier, a little scarier.
Yeah.
And I do wonder whether that's related. Because when I was in the depths of it, I was having dreams that were kind of like delirium dreams, you know, where you're obsessive or you're dreaming about just some crazy problem or something like that. It's just, you know, can't tell whether you're awake or asleep. And ever since then, I've been having some odd dreams. Hmm. So that might be one unusual. So maybe I'll pop down there to.
Yeah, you should.
Before the show, you did tell us that at the Witch Museum, there was a very scary Satan. So maybe that's what it is.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I think you're onto something. So science always finds a way, right?
So they have a Satan at the.
Yeah.
I'm surprised to hear that they went with like the supernatural there.
Well, it was really interesting because historical. It says specifically, "Do not this exhibit is not for children." So of course, two gals brought in their like toddlers.
Yeah.
And the minute they it's all dark, and then they have this very deep voice with a fake British accent,
like a haunted house.
Yeah, like a haunted house, and it's talking about and actually, I would say the description was pretty good. They were talking about what is it like to be a colonist in New England in the 1600s, and it's bleak, it's scary, there's nothing to do, children can't play, I mean, everybody's like super religious, I mean, it's a wonder they all didn't freak the F out, and so what happens is they're starting to, I mean, they're already on emotional edge, right, but they thought that, you know, they're sitting there long winter nights, you know, it's cold, you can't go outside, and they're all sitting there in the hut together or whatever. And of course, they think the minute they go out the door, Satan's going to grab them. Right?
Sure.
So they did a really good job of like Satan has like these glowing red eyes and stuff like that. Immediately, these little girls start. And the rest are like, get those kids out of here! You know? And then one of them jumped up and her head went around and she threw up. And it was like, oh yeah,
wrong exhibit. So.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So you like presidential libraries? It's sort of related.
I've been to several.
So they're working on a new one. It's halfway to completion.
Okay.
It's the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library. Which
indeed.
It's taken them a long time.
Is it? Yeah, it really has. Is it in Oyster Bay?
I'm not sure where it is. This is Medora, North Dakota. That's where the story's from. But
well, I mean, he was out there. I mean, he did a lot of nature tracking.
It's going to produce its own heat and energy using geothermal sources, which is good out in North Dakota. So
sure. It'll
be one of the most sustainable museums in the world upon opening. But I can't believe they're only halfway there. I mean, he was president like 100 and some years ago.
Yeah.
it's up in, they're scheduling to open up in 2026.
So. Yeah. Well, that's better than the Millard Fillmore one, which is the least sustainable of all.
Have you been to the Millard Fillmore?
No, there's no Millard Fillmore.
Well, there isn't.
No, there's not.
Oh, okay.
He was only president for 2 years.
Yeah,
he was,
well.
He was a dough face.
There's a Gerald Ford Museum. I mean, or
oh, that's
library.
True. Well, I think the, yeah. Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think that Roosevelt's was the first presidential site like that.
Uh-huh.
They had his, you know, accumulated work, volumes and documents and stuff like that. But yeah, we've been to the Nixon one. We've been to, let's see, what was
it? You went to LBJ's.
We went to LBJ's. Yeah, that was amazing. There was an animatronic LBJ at the LBJ.
Really?
Wow.
Was pretty intense. And the Nixon one was funny because half the people were there because they loved Nixon. And half the people were there, like, derisively and ironically. So there was kind of, and when I was there, now they've changed it since then because the daughters were fighting about this. Mm-hmm. You know, do we want to honor daddy's legacy or do we want to tell the truth? You know, and the older daughter won on this. And so because she said, we'll get more grant money that way. And so
if they tell the truth,
the Watergate room
that
when I was there was empty. And I just loved it. We took a picture of the sign and said, pardon our dust. You know, there was nothing in there because the daughters were fighting on whether it should be accurate or, you know, slavish propaganda.
So when Melvina and I, when she was probably in second grade or something, we were out in D.C. and I dragged her to the Watergate building and it was so much fun. We went inside and I think it's like apartments now or something or condos and we just wandered around in there. I was like a little kid. It was like, this is so exciting. I was trying to find the door, you know.
The sad thing is when you go to some of the ones where, you know, they're not very well known. The one that cracked me up the most was the William McKinley in Canton, Ohio. And McKinley was a big deal one time because he was, of course, one of our assassinated presidents.
Right.
He was a relatively popular president.
Yeah.
He was reelected and everything. But unfortunately, what happened, of course, was that the interest in McKinley has diminished tremendously. So they also have dinosaurs there.
Is he riding one?
Or? Yeah, but we thought that was hysterical. And the way they tie it together is so transparent and flimsy. They're like, yes, McKinley was very interested in science. So he probably would have loved all these dinosaurs here. You know?
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's just awful.
They should do that with every presidential library. Yeah, you know,
Yep. Orange yarding and dinosaurs. Or we get a different crocodiles, you know.
Taft could be riding a brontosaurus or something.
Yeah, no,
Get stuck in a tarp. Back. Get stuck in a tar pit.
Hey, before the break, I promised news about pandas. So baby pandas. So Ying Ying, a giant panda in Hong Kong, became the oldest first-time mother at the age of 19 to a twin set of male and female.
A teen mom.
A teen mom. The oldest first-time teen mom. The whole time they were telling her, like, this is a geriatric pregnancy. You got to be really careful.
Sure, yeah.
Take your vitamins.
Now, they're very tiny when they're born.
Yeah, they're so little, and their eyes are all squished, and they're pink, and they belong to China, in case you didn't know.
Every panda that's born belongs to China?
Every panda, except for a couple that are in Mexico, are on lease from China, from Beijing.
So they have a panda monopoly.
Yeah.
Oh, panoply.
Wow. A panoply, yes.
Except for the Mexican pandas, they were a gift.
Those are tough hombres.
Yeah, they are. So they were successfully bred, and they lineated from gift pandas.
Okay.
But now all the other pandas are on lease.
Yeah, oh, really? Wow.
And when Trump messed stuff up, we lost our panda rights for a
while. Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. There's another thing to hold against him.
Biden got us back the pandas, anything.
Forget democracy. I'm talking about the pandas now.
I'm a one-issue voter. It's
pandas. Well, at least you picked the right issue. Yeah,
the pandemonium party. I saw the pandas in D.C. one time. And they were nothing. I mean, they were just, it was like this big line of people.
I'm going to have to walk out.
they were just laying there. They were not very interesting. But there was like huge lines to see them.
Yeah. The panda is the best argument against intelligent design. We'll talk about that some other time.
All right. Time to declare.
The weekend.
Yay. Enjoy the weekend. So.
What's happening this weekend? Anything fun?
Pride Fest. Magic
Pride
Fest.
Oh, that's right. Oh, cool.
I think I'll sit on the sofa and put ice on my knee.
Yeah, there you go. I think maybe it's also like Eakin Park Fest. Last week, Pants and I made the, we said, I don't know if there's any fest going on.
That was a mistake. We were deluged.
Oh, really?
Probably seven listeners called in. Fest.
Oh, that's funny. So, all right, we got to get out of here. The kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks for You with the Real Jaguar. Pants, was great to see you. Ruby, was great
you
to see you.
You
thanks
too.
For sitting in.
So thanks for the therapy.
It's great to be back. I missed doing this. So yeah. I haven't been out of the house much. So as you could probably tell, I'm a little dingy. So
it's good to see you, bud.
All right, have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. It's 2:00. You are listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, August 16th.
Challenging conventional wisdom can advance society's understanding of truth, good. Arrogantly challenging the complex balance of nature, however, can go kablooey, very bad. In recent times, there's been an unfortunate tendency for some scientific hotshots to send society off on techno-tangents to, quote, remake nature, promising miracles. About 70 years ago, for example, a so-called ag science genius promised that dumping synthetic pesticides on monoculture crops across the globe would end hunger. Chemical giants and governments rushed to do the dump, but the fix ultimately resulted in the ongoing poisoning of Earth's land, water, food, and people, while enriching agricultural monopolists and allowing hunger to rage. Unfortunately, insistence by technologists and profiteers that they can outsmart and overwhelm nature is now being pushed with cosmic vengeance. A covey of arrogant academics and billionaire backers are saying, "Trust us, we can handle that little global warming issue." One is named David Keith, running a $100 million, quote, stratospheric solar geoengineering scheme named SCOPEX. Keith proposes to solve global warming by, get this, dispensing volumes of sulfur dioxide into the Earth's stratosphere to, quote, regulate the amount and location of sunlight around the globe. Gosh, what could go wrong with that? Never mind the unknown consequences of tampering with basic nature, argues Keith, for his bold techno fix to global warming bypasses the political difficulty of ending our fossil fuel addiction, so we should just do it. This is Jim Hightower saying, Keith does admit that he can be inappropriately forceful. I'm intense, he says. Well then, let's all chip in for some therapy sessions to help him overcome his megalomania before he makes an irreversible mess of the only planet we have that sustains life. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.